A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we begin what would ordinarily be 2 weeks of focus on the letter of St. James. We'll have 8 days prior to the beginning of Lent to ponder it. It's one of the most important New Testament letters. If we were to do a Bible study on the letter of St. James, we'd see that it's almost a total parallel of putting into action the Sermon on the Mount, in which we have been pondering on Sundays for the last several weeks. The letter of St. James is focused on becoming doers, not just idle listeners of the word, particularly the words Jesus enunciated in his second most important sermon of all time, with the first being the words that he said on the cross. But St. James begins his letter focusing on the first Christians in the various places where they had been dispersed, saying, "Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Consider it all joy, when your faith is tested. Today in the Gospel, the Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And Jesus' response was, "All joy." No, not really. He sighed from the depth of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? No sign will be given it except..." Sorry, I mean, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. I'll wait on the except for a second. It's not always a joy when we're tried. At first instance, it's clearly not. But on second instance, it is, if, as St. James says, it leads to endurance. And Jesus, as we see, was being led to endurance. And in that sense, it is, of course, a joy. Jesus, by this point, sighed because all he had been doing was a series of signs, miracles of exorcism, miracles of curing the lame, the sick, the blind, the deaf, those with withered hands and otherwise crippled. Signs of walking on water and storming wind and sea. Signs of feeding multitudes with meager starting materials. So many signs. When you look at how he in the synagogue of Nazareth unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read what would be the characteristics of the Messiah and the signs of his presence, Jesus was almost checking them off one by one throughout his public ministry. He had been given one long series of signs. The reason why he sighed was not because he was being tested. The reason why he sighed was because of the hardness of the hearts of the Pharisees. And the reason why he would say no sign would be given this generation is because all of these signs have been given this generation, two more supreme ones which we'll get to. But no matter what was given, their hearts were hardened to accept anything. We see that when Jesus was doing exorcisms, and they began to say that he was working it by the power of the prince of demons, Beelzebul, instead of by the finger of God. They just had the most hardened soil, and they weren't going to accept anything no matter when it came. In St. Matthew's version of this gospel, Jesus says an accept, which is kind of important. No sign will be given this generation except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man spend 3 days in the belly of the earth. But even that great sign of the resurrection was refused. St. James wants us to persevere in tests, because ultimately what he's going to argue are these tests are signs of God's providential care for us. They're signs that he is forming us. He's testing us to persevere. And the word there, you could pass on to Sister Hope, is hupomone. It's this endurance that we'll see in the letter to the Hebrews. It forms us to be like Christ, that sign of Jonah, all the way to Calvary and beyond. And Jesus knows that we need to be formed to persevere. And so he tests our faith through these various trials. Trials can come from someone who just doesn't understand us and becomes a thorn in our side. Trials can come from physical health issues or problems at home. Trials can sometimes come through doubts to our faith. But God is with us. And ultimately, those difficulties are meant to be signs that we're not alone. And that if we walk through the valley of darkness, trusting in him who is the good shepherd, he will lead us to those verdant pastures. And the more we experience those trials and the fulfillment of those trials, the more readily we're able to recognize the trials at their beginning and entrust ourselves more. St. James is trying to attack vacillators, those who are fear-weathered disciples, those who are like the waves of the sea, believing and doubting, believing and doubting. He's trying to form the people to be solid in the midst of trials, because that fruit of perseverance will be faith, and that faith will lead to eternal life. There's another great sign. The greatest sign given to the generation was the sign of Jonah. But there was another sign, as you remember, going way back to the prophet Isaiah and King Ahaz. Ask for a sign as high as the heavens, as deep as the netherworld, and will be given to you. And all of a sudden, the 18-year-old king finds faith. He had been vacillating just like that ocean. He said, "No! I won't ask a sign." And Isaiah, for God, says, "Well, this sign will be given you nevertheless. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." Jesus in the incarnation is that great sign, but likewise that virgin with child. And today, on this feast of the seven holy founders of the Servants of Mary, we're able to thank God for not only their recognizing that sign in tandem, but they're propagating it in the 1200s and beyond. These were seven noblemen working ordinary professions in the city of Florence who used to get together to grow in Marian devotion. Mary started to appear to them. Eventually they recognized she was asking something of them. So they left the world behind in order to become more and more children in Mary's school. And the order grew over the course of time. They passed through various trials. Even though St. Philip Benizi, in a sense their real organizer, had become one of the real lights of the 13th century and participated in the Council of Lyon, That's the council that St. Thomas Aquinas died in trying to get to, 1274. Even though everybody respected him, there was an arbitrary canon coming out of the Council of Lyon that basically all new orders would be suppressed. They made the exception for the Dominicans and for the Franciscans. But the Servants of Mary were suppressed. What a trial that would be. All they wanted to do was to serve the Lord and to say fiat. And all of a sudden it would seem that the mystical body of the blessed fruit of Mary's womb was shutting them down and turning off the lights. But like Mary, to whom they had a special devotion under the title of Our Lady of Sorrows, which is why in Chicago, the Basilica of the Servites is the Basilica of Our Lady of Sorrows, where one of the Servite fathers over the course of the centuries, St. Peregrine, has his national shrine. Because they were learning from Mary how to persevere on Calvary, they just trusted in God. And within a few years, they were able to be fully restored. He had gone to see a pope that he knew, and the pope died and persevered. Then another pope came in, and he only lasted 17 weeks. He was never able to have an appointment. He died. But then finally he met with the new pope, persuaded him to restore the order, and the order has been restored ever since. The great sign of Christ's continual incarnation and of a virgin with child, it's a sign that's supposed to lead us to even greater faith. Today, we come here not to ask for a sign to test Jesus. We come here to behold these signs. He's not going to sigh from the depth of his spirit in exasperation, but we pray by our accepting these signs and becoming in the world a sign of his presence, he might rejoice. Praise be Jesus Christ.